Are we ready? 7 o'clock.
So you guys are running, I take it, for election.
We're on.
You're running for
election.
Well, you bring to the table great knowledge and wisdom and experience.
We'll call the meeting to order. A reminder to the public, meetings are being recorded. Public comment on matters not on the agenda. Seems none. Consider it. Do we need to pull anything for further discussion? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Discussion and decision on the preliminary budget.
All right. My apologies for not getting this out to you earlier, but was waiting, hoping that the county was going to provide us, the county finance office was going to provide us with updated levy information, but that did not occur. And so,
surprise,
yeah. the data that are included for taxes are based off of this past year. And so, in reality, we will most likely realize a little bit higher income from taxes, just associated with no changes in mill, but increases in value in the district.
Or new taxable
value, correct. So if we look at total revenue, projected revenue based on that value for levy taxes comes to slightly over $1 million. Last year, just as point of reference, the total is projected to be or was $964,000, and that's updated with interest and so on to a little over $1 million.
Excuse me, is that a thing we didn't get a copy of?
There should be a copy. There's one over there. We can get some more too.
I got a couple more if anybody needs one.
One's just another one.
Okay. No? Oh, we should.
Well, then I have an
extra. Okay.
Okay. In terms of expenses, Jason and the rest of the staff has done a really good job meeting our goals that were established last year. And so we really are in a position where we aren't going to have to change too many of our expense categories. We looked at a couple of items in the budget, one being utilities, and we found that we're going to be a little over budget by the time we get to the end of the fiscal year in that category. A lot of that's due to the weather that we had this past year, but the budget committee chose to add about $10,000 to that category and to meet the needs for next year. Under professional services, now that we've split between the administrative assistant and we've basically outsourced the bookkeeping part of this, our costs have gone up just a little bit there, and we would probably meet our budget needs with last year's amount, but we wouldn't really have any contingencies in there if we needed to hire an attorney for whatever reason or that sort of thing.
Is that just because you took over as treasurer?
So this
is not going to be easy tonight.
No, I see that. So we added $10,000 there in the hopes that we don't need to use that. And again, staff's been pretty good about beating the budget. Moving further down, insurance, we added $5,000 there. It seems like every year we've been faced with this, an increase in our insurance costs, and we don't expect that that's likely to change moving forward into the future.
These are percentages are to date.
The percentages in the far right-hand column are up to date. That's correct.
Okay.
And so we are
so
at about.
Not,
we are at about.
These are actuals.
Right. Yeah. If you look at the second column, The second column is actual up through March. And the far right column, the percent of budget, is the percent of expenditures to date as a percentage of the budgeted amount. And so obviously anything over 75% is concerning in terms of meeting budget. There is one item, if you'll notice, in professional subscription fees. A lot of that's paid up front. And so, it says we're at 98%, but we really, we don't have
problem.
Too much
under cut.
It's coming down the pipe. And some of the other categories, Jason, I know he looks at the budget and say, for example, in apparatus, and he a lot of times will make some decisions in terms of what needs to be replaced, small stuff, later in the fiscal year.
And just makes sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
If we need a carryover to get through to the...
Or if we have a major
next
failure.
Next revenue stream.
Right, major failure and repair, and have to repair something. So, and then the final category that we threw $500 at is other charges. We didn't have that category before, and so we put $500 in there. So the total change to the budget is an increase on operational expenses of $25,500. So we'd go from a operational expense, a budgeted expense last year of $805,000, to an operational expense of $830,500.
So in other charges, that's where the Bahama trips and stuff go?
Right. Well, what goes in?
$500.
It's going to be a heck of a time.
What goes into that category? We had, last year we had a situation, and it goes to show how this is, our structure is paying off, but we had some fines and stuff that we were faced with, and some of that was due to things that were overlooked by previous staff. So I think,
Wouldn't that just fall into professional?
Right. There is. Yeah. I mean, and I guess what I'm relying that question was raised, and I guess what I'm relying. I mean, there is some latitude in how those things are assigned, and I guess from my perspective, Chuck Wyman had a lot more experience in this area than I do. And so for me, I do rely on Rosie's expertise in terms of coding some of those things. And I know there's some latitude with the standards in doing that. So Yeah. Well, this is we had a discussion about this, and this is her.
She's the one that's got to get us through the audits.
Correct. Exactly. And that's why I'm relying on her.
Right.
To her expertise. One point of discussion that I'd like to bring up at this point is related to the second category, and that's our personnel services, which is essentially wages and benefits for our employees. And you'll note that the Budget Committee is not suggesting that there be a change in that amount of $350,000, but if you look at the worksheet for personnel costs, one consideration that was brought forward and suggested that the board consider is looking at a COLA, a one-year increase, a small increase in wages for our employees. And one of the primary drivers in doing that is the increase in insurance costs that the employees are faced with on dependent care now that we've changed the policy. And I guess the other aspect of it is, do we want to, as a board, acknowledge the fact, I mean, we all know that living in Bozeman's not inexpensive, and do we want to provide that additional level of support to our employees through some sort of COLA if we can afford it? And if you look at that personnel cost worksheet, if we were to not implement any type of COLA, the estimate for of total employer costs for our employees would be $337,000. And if we were to go with a 1% COLA, that would add $3,000 to that amount, and that includes the coverage on overhead. And if we were to consider a 2% COLA, that would add $6,100 to our budget. So respectively, the total would be for 1% of $340,000, and for a 2%, a little over $340,000, and for a 2% COLA, it would be a total employer cost of $343,000 and change. And again, those numbers are obviously less than the budget amount of $350,000, so that leaves us a little bit of wiggle room should we realize, you know, increased insurance costs in the year, during the fiscal year, which again has been kind of standard operating procedure, it seems like, here recently. So I don't know how you'd like to break that down, if you'd like to break that into two components to this discussion, the COLA component, and then consideration of the preliminary budget.
Right, I think we should do the budget and then deal with that.
Well, I mean, just as a matter of logic, I think you want to do the COLA first, because that will affect the final budget number, right? You want to vote on. But I was going to ask Chuck, there weren't any other budget items that we talked about in the meeting that jumped out, right? I mean, it's just the COLA thing we were going to discuss.
Right, but that was the only thing that we, I feel as though, I mean, based on our conversation that with the budget committee.
And this is just preliminary, isn't it?
This is just preliminary.
So, if we can do it either way, because we don't even have the county stuff in, so.
Right.
When's it normally due?
Well, your experience.
Usually you have it by now, you get the packet.
Mm-hmm. And no, I mean, when do we have to have it?
Oh, it's in May. And to my understanding, Walt doesn't have the timeline yet because they haven't given it to him. But the problem we've run into is that sometimes we had to have a special meeting,
yes, right,
to do it in May to get it to them in time. So that's why, yeah, if we can do it tonight, that'd be advantageous because they haven't published it. It
could, right, turn out, and we don't need their numbers to submit the preliminary.
The way it's always been done in the past, the way Ed Blackman recommends it, is that you use last year's revenue as your base because it doesn't go down. So that's what they've done, is they've used this last year's revenue. So,
and actually, this sheet doesn't even go into them. It's their form.
Right. Correct. These numbers go into
this. This is more an operational.
Correct.
But any vote tonight, if we do vote in budget, should authorize these numbers to be moved onto the county sheet and go in, because that's important.
Yeah.
And then the trustees that voted on it would have to sign it. Because we signed, we did.
Yeah, let's do that for sure. I hate getting jammed with these guys. Yeah. They call us up and then we have to scramble to make it.
We've had at least five, since I've been on, we've had five special meetings. Yeah. And that's not really fair, because then you've got the public that has to come to a special meeting that maybe they miss, they don't expect, whatever.
No, mm-hmm. Agree.
Well, I think in this, we're not substantially changing the expense side of what our operations.
Right.
You know,
I think you did a great job.
Yeah. You want to do the COLA first, or
I think it makes sense
that you can,
right. I think it makes sense.
Well, will the numbers change at all?
It won't change the number. Like I said, okay, we can work with the 350,000. It does not change that.
The
that
budget number just spends, changes the actual expense.
How we, correct.
How it's correct. Appropriate.
Right.
So, if anybody has a preference, it doesn't matter.
Do you want to do public comment anyway?
I was just trying to sort this out.
Oh, the preference part. I see what you're saying.
Which way we want to proceed. So, do you want that information for the budget?
Sure, I think it'd be great to have that.
So that'll be the order. We'll do it in then.
Yeah, sure.
And stuff. So, any public comment on Walt's finally printed budget sheet? Okay. I guess we'll bring it back to the board to discuss the COLA and see where we're going there. Some of my comment is I think as a previous trustee and department, we were duped a little bit on this insurance thing anyway. So comparing what we were doing was to something we probably, had we known and not kind of got slipped through, would have not happened. So I struggle with that comparison just for the way normal business and corporate works, just from that comparison side. Because we changed the way we do the insurance, it changed that income. So I'm just throwing that out there for discussion.
I think it's important to note that all employees did get a raise this year, because we are paying for their insurance, and their individual insurance did go up, so everybody got a raise. The other thing that I would look at is last year when we changed the system, every employee got more money than what they had to pay in their insurance. When we changed it from we were paying for the employee and their entire family to we're going to pay for the employee and then make up the difference in a raise on their family, we, rather than risk having it be short and consequently have bad morale on that, we went high just to make sure that we covered all of that. If we're talking about just the insurance side of it, I think there's only two that are actually affected by that. And finally, I guess I look at, if we're starting the precedence that there's always going to be a COLA increase every year. And that concerns me, because I'm not sure this department, and especially if we add employees, as other departments have had to do, you're starting to put pressure on too. That's always expected. I'd sure like to see it stay as a merit base. I don't know if anybody's really going backwards. I haven't looked at the numbers like you guys have in terms of from last year. I know Jason got a large raise last year above the cost of the insurance. So really it would seem to me Chris would be about the only person that, to my knowledge, he didn't get a raise other than paying for the insurance. And I think that's more merit-based than COLA-based is where my recommendation would be. Somehow I need to throw in the word sustainability. I think I mentioned that.
And fair.
Means, well, no, he used fair. I used sustainability.
Oh, okay. And his is equitable.
He switched.
Any comments, Chuck?
When they got their raises, I mean, we didn't know what the insurance was going to cost. This new policy that they're under now was going to cost, correct?
No, we did it last year based on what we did know last year's cost. So we did it based off of hard numbers last year. We never, just like you won't know what next year's insurance is going to cost.
Right, but this year's we didn't know either, correct?
No, income said it went up 10%.
Oh.
When we did the raises, that was done out of a committee. It wasn't done at budget time. And the reason we didn't do it at budget time is we didn't have the renewal. Right. So we waited and did it when we had the hard numbers. So that last year when the change was done, when we switched, we knew that, I'm going to just make up numbers, but say with Brian, he had his kids and his wife on there, and so we figured out what that cost, and we gave him that raise plus, because we had to account for taxes and deductions and everything else, so we gave more of that. Then ironically enough, his wife ended up having a job where she moved, and so he got that raise but didn't have that expense here. I'm sure he had the expense at the other end, but again, I don't know what that number was. So as an example, that's how that worked, and there was more than what was charged. Now, that's only if we're talking just insurance, because COLA, you know, affects housing, food. I mean, that's a cost of living. That's not just solely on the insurance.
Right.
Yeah, and I think, I guess my input on that was is that we should probably take that into consideration to some extent, you know, beyond just the insurance costs. There are other costs that increase for people that live in the Valley. And so, in my estimate, and again, I know that I share your concern with regard to setting a precedent that it becomes something that's expected from year to year. I am a little bit concerned about that. And so I don't know, you know, the best way to not allow that to to become the precedent and become the expected norm. I am a little concerned about that because there are situations where we may not be able to do that. And so if that expectation exists and it's difficult to do it, a future board will be put in a bind.
And I think in the past too, I know you did some research on it to make sure that we were in a real fair number range. I think you called around the state or whatever to make sure that we were already, that we weren't out of whack with the rest of the profession, for the most part. So we researched that and found out, I thought we were in a real fair and equitable place at that point. And then by adjusting to change the insurance, it was a change. And we compensated for that too.
Well, let's see. Starting with principal, I think our compensation ought to be, if not right at the mark, a little bit higher than everybody else in the valley, because we want to keep good people, because we know how expensive it is not to have good people. And I think insurance is just a wild card that we're going to have to deal with every single year. We don't know how that's going to go. And I think the move that we made this past year to get that right sizing, if you will, is a good one, like where we are with that. Cost of living, I share both Walt and Chuck's feelings about precedent. I don't like to establish precedent like that. So I guess I feel like for this year, we're at a pretty good place, and I'd be willing not to go into a cold situation, because the reality is every year, we just have very few employees. We're going to be sitting down and making sure that total compensation package is competitive. So I'm really kind of wishy-washy on this one.
The only thing I'd add to your comment is in the valley, and if you count Big Sky too, which is, so we are, I would say, well, if you count Amsterdam and all that, where they don't have some paid positions and so forth, but if you compare us to Central Valley and you compare us to Big Sky, we are below them. There's no doubt about that. And they have different, I mean, Big Sky has different funding. I mean, they get some of that tourist tax up there and so forth. Central Valley's thing, but just a point of clarification, because I don't want you to make a decision tonight based on wrong information. What I did is I also called like Kalispell, Whitefish, Helena, Missoula, and it's all over the map. I mean, Big Fork, which to me is kind of a tourist community and all of that, if I recall correctly, that guy's getting $5,000, and he's full-time. I mean, it's bizarre. It's just some of the reimbursements of trying to compare salaries, and that was one of the things that I was kind of trying to push the Trustees Association to do, is for boards to have good information and accurate information to help make decisions. That's, you know, that just makes it all, that's all the more important.
I know in our business, one thing we're struggling with, we found out, and it's a rude awakening, that we were behind the market by a lot. And so we were not attracting the employees we wanted, and we're losing a few. And that catch-up game is painful. It's kind of like getting behind in capital equipment. You know, it really
we went through that 20 years ago.
Exactly. It really is. It's not a place where you want to be so far out of whack, because then it hits your budget. The numbers that we're talking about are essentially immaterial to the budget, you know, $6,000 or whatever like that. So,
could we do it as merit, though, as opposed to a COLA?
No, we could do that as merit for sure. No, I think that's exactly right.
So across the board, merit.
You've got a chief, in my opinion, you've got a chief that does employee reviews, and I think this board could give him authorization based on merit to do a certain number, you know, a certain percentage and all that. The only one that we really control is the chief's, in my opinion.
Right. So
or he could bring it to the board.
Or he can bring it to the board, absolutely.
If he did a review process and say, you know,
I recommend this and this. Yeah.
But I appreciate your comments reminding us of how difficult that was, because it was pretty crazy when you came back with those numbers as you described. So what I would like the staff to experience is a unified board that supports them, right? So they get a feeling that they're being supported. So I wouldn't want to vote tonight. It's not unanimous. So I'm prepared to cast my vote so we make sure we have a unanimous vote. And I like the idea of merit-based pay. I don't like the idea of COLA because everybody thinks about that as an annual thing. And what I would like to do is find a way that we could institute that merit-based pay, not waiting a year, but we could do it quicker, mm-hmm. right? And you know, I would go for 2%, that's $6,000, and we could give that to the chief to allocate as he sees fit, and then we could figure it out for the chief.
I like that. I think that makes sense.
As well.
Yeah, I think we move away from the concept of a COLA doing that, and it can be an annual review type of thing. That
yeah, and we can just start budgeting for it. It's just a, you know, whatever we call it. But.
Well, I think it's great for us to be a merit-based department.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how the world works.
That structure. And then being that Jason's in control of this, so whatever he doles out comes off of his wages.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he's very conscious of.
Yeah, I thought that was totally understood. Oh.
Implied, of course, it's implied.
Well, we all know how altruistic.
It's going to be an easy night.
I know.
So I guess what we would do is we would just amend the budget to reflect, just change it from COLA to some sort of merit-based pot.
Well, and this is preliminary. You have time to do that.
Yes, it does.
So you don't, the numbers are what matter, but the...
You can put a committee together and create that standard operating procedure or however you want to form that. Policy, I guess.
Yeah, and again, you guys can approve this budget without approving any wage increase.
Right. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or reduction.
Yeah.
Please let's not leave that out. Wage increase or reduction.
Right.
Wow. Way to slip that in.
Yep. Yeah, we have some latitude to work with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing you can remember is that if for some reason you end up going over a line item, i.e. wages, because that was where we were always kind of concerned, you can move money from one line to another at a meeting.
Right.
That's not outside of, as long as it's published and all that.
Right.
Yep.
And just to give everybody.
And obviously, we need more information to operate than the county does. Because
mm-hmm.
our budget's a lot more detailed than
anything. They're mostly concerned that we don't spend more than what we take in.
Right.
I mean,
but operationally, we need to know more.
Right. Yep.
Well, and we also, we're trying to do a good job of managing our money so that we can pay for capital purchase. I mean, we beat that horse all the time.
We as an organization need this detail.
Right.
And, you know.
Right. And just to give everybody, if you look at that number on total expenses, we're at 61, the total budget or total expenditures year to date, and we're about 75% through the fiscal year. And if you look at the total expenditures, we're at about 61%. So we're beating the budget at this point in time by quite a bit, or I should say.
Looks like 81%.
Well, but, and to that point also, and I'm not sure why you didn't do this. I don't know if you're being fully transparent. I like to use that word.
Okay.
Why didn't you put the percentages up on the income side too? Because we've got more revenue than what we budgeted
for. Right,
which is the standard thing.
Yeah.
That 88,000 in parentheses is a good thing, not a bad thing. Some people look at that
See
a bad thing, and I want to clarify that's a good thing
on revenue.
Yeah.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why didn't you put the percentage
that's
in there?
That's a good point.
You didn't like to do
I
that?
I could add that.
Was that just too much time, or what?
Would have made this number smaller.
9 called you for dinner or something?
His readers wouldn't go that well.
It would have made his reading smaller.
I will bring that forth into my next iteration.
Okay, all right. Well,
that's a good suggestion.
Happy to contribute.
Yeah, thank you.
So having discussed, are we ready for a motion? All right. Well,
there's no motion.
We don't really need a motion on the
No, nothing.
The merit and all of that. We just need
that's kind of direction.
The next board can just pick that up.
Yeah. Yep.
And probably what will spur us to do that is when the county gets it together.
Oh, you know Murphy's Law, the county will have it together tomorrow. That's what happens. Because I went down to the county a number of times and just got the forms, because they're the same forms every year.
They're probably online, aren't they?
Well, they changed the year and all that stuff. So, but I mean, basically the format's the same. They haven't changed those in years.
And they have a situation where the person who normally takes care of that is on maternity leave. The one who really drives the office is out right now, so.
So are you stating that because you have some personal involvement in that?
Wow.
All right. Any more discussion on the budget questions? Can I have a motion to approve the budget?
Move to approve the budget as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Discussion and decision, bids for the new rescue apparatus. I see you have the big book.
Yeah. Okay, so a little background. When Brian and I worked up the specifications for this truck, we did write those specs for a two-wheel drive engine, but we wrote it in that bidders could bid as an option four-wheel drive. That way we could compare prices, understand what that was going to cost us. Despite the fact that I personally contacted the three apparatus companies that sell apparatus in Montana, we only received one bid. Sutphin just refused to call me back after I left multiple messages for their sales staff, and Rosenbauer said they were too busy.
Times must be good.
So we got one bid from Pierce.
So I'll just write it up here so it's here.
Do you want to explain to these guys what a general public, what a rescue apparatus is?
Sure. Yeah,
and just to clarify.
Yeah, that. I'll go back and do that. It's a great idea, Dave. Way to pull through on the last night. That's awesome. So we are replacing our rescue truck, which is Rescue 6. That rescue truck was built with the intention of providing the services needed at motor vehicle crashes and water rescues and all the things other than our medical and fire calls. But when it was built up, it was not built with a water tank or a pump. And that may sound okay, but the problem is we go to car accidents, and when the car's on fire, it's a real problem that we don't have a pump and water. Kind of embarrassing to get out with extinguishers and try to put out a car fire. And we do get car fires, there's no question about it. And in fact, we get car fires that start building fires. The Antiques Mall fire is probably our most famous example of that. That was a car fire parked next to the building, and the entire building, as you all know, burned to the ground. It's hard to beat an antique store fire. Lots of dry material in there. So our idea was to replace that apparatus. It's well beyond its usable life because it started its life as an engine and was repurposed, I don't know, before my time, by Crandall. Chief Crandall repurposed it as a rescue truck, pulled the water tank out, pulled the pump out, and used that space to create a portable cascade system to refill our SCBA bottles on scene, which is a tremendous function of that truck. So it's served the community well over the years, again, in multiple roles. So the concept with replacing it is that we would replace it with a rescue pumper, a truck that has water, has a pump, serves firefighting duties, as well as is a rescue truck. So kind of a two-in-one truck. The upside to it is it will do the obvious, which is replacing our old Rescue 6. An added benefit is because it's a pumper, it can also replace one of our old engines. So what that does for us is it's one truck that does the job of two and takes one $500,000 piece of apparatus out of our capital replacement plan. So we don't have to keep saving money to replace that truck because we're really getting two in one. So that's what started all this. So we wrote...
The new one's going to have a cascade system still.
No, so we looked at doing that, and for the space required to do that, it was going to end up making the truck very long wheelbase, which makes it very unmaneuverable and difficult to drive. So
it's kind of a different function, isn't it?
Yeah, so my idea for the board is the old Rescue 6 that we're replacing, we can, because it will be a frontline piece of apparatus and the only thing it has to respond to is structure fires, which we only have maybe 4 or 5 a year, we keep that truck. We leave the cascade system in it. We can put more food, more water, call it a support vehicle, repurpose it once again, and it should last, you know, because it's being driven so little and being used so infrequently, we can still use it. The other option is that if at one point, you know, in the future, that truck becomes more of a liability, we can use all kinds of smaller vehicles to accomplish that task.
Replace the chassis.
Yeah. We can just use a medium duty something or another, buy a used, repurpose it. You know, people have even used old ambulances for that. And put all the bottles in there. And so there's all kinds of inexpensive ways to keep that. Yeah, to keep that in service. So this truck, it will be a cab over design, like you see most of the engines in the Valley, as opposed to being a commercial cab. The big advantages of a cab over design, first, they have roll protection built into the cabs, which commercial cabs have zero roll protection. And unfortunately, rollovers and fire apparatus are actually a fairly common issue in the fire service. Second is they're much easier to maintain. So right now, with our commercial cab engines, we have access to the pump just on the sides of it. And you can open that panel up, but it's difficult to get to where you want it. With a cab over, the cab tilts forward, and the entire front of the pump is open. And then you have the sides and the pump. It's much easier to get in there. You also, when you tilt the cab, expose the entire engine. So for doing work on the engine, changing oil, all those things, it's much easier. Plus, it's much more drivable because it's a setback axle. So it effectively decreases the wheelbase of any truck having a cab over design. So that's what we spec'd out for the truck. 1,250 gallons of water on the truck. Standard fire engine has between 500 and 750 gallons. Here, because we have so little municipal type water systems with hydrants, we like to bring more water. So two of our engines currently in the fleet carry 1,700 gallons. Engine 6 carries 1,200 gallons of water. So this one will be right in that range of carrying the right amount of water for us. We did not go with compressed air foam. That saved us a big chunk of money because we're just not convinced there's enough benefit for the cost of that system. And there's a tremendous amount of maintenance involved. We did not specify an independent motor-driven pump with a separate diesel motor inside the pump compartment. Again, a very expensive option. We just weren't seeing.
Don't need a lot of pump and roll on a rescue.
No. Just don't see the benefit in this truck for that configuration. We also did not specify a generator. With modern LED lights, they can have a robust enough alternator to light up the scene with all that we need.
Didn't you on that visit have them turn the lights on?
Oh, yeah. We went through.
And it lit up more than you expected it to, didn't it?
Yeah, so we kind of ground truth that during our visit at the factory, and we're very satisfied. That saved us $20,000-$25,000.
So we're not losing anything by trying to save money. We're still getting
I don't think so. I mean, it's nifty to have
Nifty.
Yeah, it is nifty to have a hydraulic generator on a truck because you can plug everything in the world you want into it. The reality is we have portable generators. We have those Honda 2KW portable generators for running things away from the truck, and they work great. So it we felt that was a reasonable place to save money. We also downsized. Most of our engines have the biggest diesel motors that money can buy in them, and we came to the conclusion that we did not need the biggest diesel motor. And so I asked L9 Cummins diesel motor. It's still 450 horsepower, has great torque specs, and that saved us $30,000 going with a smaller motor. And talked to Gateway. They just got a truck from Rosenbauer, very similar configuration with that ISL9 Cummins motor, and their chief said it's plenty peppy enough for them. And we're not really in the business of wanting our firefighters to drive our trucks real fast. So we'll be fine. We don't have any giant hills to pull up, or we're going to be okay. I'm trying to think of any other highlights of the truck.
Did you put the Dalmatian on it for Pete?
Yes.
Well, so.
And it comes with a month's worth of dog food. Just a little incentive Pierce offered.
So they just launched a nuclear submarine with a grizzly on it. Did you put a bobcat on this fire truck?
Well, we're working on
it. Pete was in line first.
Oh.
That was why.
Right. Thank you.
The next one up for me.
Pierce in the past has not been just not done well with doing the pre-connected lines on the front bumper like our current apparatus had. They were able to make that happen, so we were able to get that configuration as well.
And that was a direct result of you guys going to the factory, was it not?
Yeah, we went there, we talked to the engineers, we really explained what we wanted. We said, hey, we're not asking for the world, we just want it like this. And they came up with a pretty reasonable methodology to make it happen.
This is for pump and roll, or is it something?
No, this is just, you know, most fire engines have cross lays that go over the pump and you pull the lines up. Well, years ago, Crandall came up with this concept. This is a very good one, that you put the pre-connected lines on the front bumper. It's lower, it's quicker to grab, it's not getting away of the driver operator. And that's how
pull fire. So yeah.
And that's how all of our trucks are. It's how we're used to doing business. And, you know, we were willing to be flexible on it, but it was nice that they were able to work that out for us. Can you think of anything else different?
See, on the two.
I mean, other than the hot tub, I really don't know what. Everything else is pretty standard.
Water.
What's that?
It's heated water?
Yes.
In the tank?
Yes. Well, in the hot tub.
Oh,
not in the tank.
There's a tank and a hot tub.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, the hot tub.
That's why I remember.
You wouldn't want to heat up all that water. Like heating up 500 gallons worth. Otherwise, pretty straightforward. For the four-wheel drive option, I did some research on that and looked into the spaghetti drive systems, which it's basically a four-wheel drive system that just doesn't give you the low range gearing. So it doesn't have a classic transfer case. The drive shaft goes to the rear differential, it has an Eaton power divider on it, and then sends another shaft up to the front and runs the front drive axle. So it's a little less expensive way to do four-wheel drive, but Pierce has done tons of them. They said they've never had any more issues than any other four-wheel drive system. In fact, probably less. Amsterdam has one, Fort Ellis has one, Gateway has one that they've had since early 2000s or something, yeah.
So is it like a lemon slip differential thing?
No, it's full four-wheel drive. Full four-wheel drive.
They're just eliminating the transfer case, basically.
Yeah. You just save money.
But do you think you really need it in that truck?
Four-wheel drive? Well,
because where we struggled before was the tandems.
Yeah.
Tending to push straight, where this is single axis,
yep.
So that helps. There's a lot of different things that come into play there.
Yeah.
And the balance of your truck.
Yeah. We've really been wrestling with that back and forth. Do we really need it? Is it a good thing? Is it in? In the end, I think for, and I'll lay out the cost differences. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it for having to get up into highlight in the wintertime. I think it's worth it for, I think it's worth it getting trucks stuck and having a method to get them unstuck. So we'll get to that. So for pricing, now what I'm going to tell you is the pricing given all the available discounts that we qualify for, with the exception of there's a discount if we didn't do a performance bond, and I think that's a bad idea. I think we need to do a performance bond. So full discounts in the, so we I told you guys this was the number I gave you. And I said plus, minus, because I was not sure how it would come out. So in the two-wheel drive version, we are at 580.015. So for four-wheel drive,
that would be called a no-brainer right there.
So we were able to come in under budget on both. So about $15,000 difference for the four-wheel drive. That's why I say I think it's...
Well, when you mentioned highlight and a few of those...
Given that it's our rescue truck, that's the number one reason we go up there, is for car accidents.
And how would you ever live down the shame the first time you arrive in your new rescue truck and it's stuck?
Yeah.
And they're like...
Well, and that eliminated the onboard chain system, didn't it?
No, this still includes on-spot chains.
What's that?
That still includes.
Still includes on-spot chains. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could eliminate that, but that still includes the on-spot chains.
That's not a huge deal, though, is it? On-spot?
It's not a huge expense. No.
$500. What is
on-spot? No. That thing's $500 up here. Absolutely. Even the cup holders are more than $500.
I remember the radio was what's not right.
Yeah. What are on-spot AM, FM radio was, I don't know what the itemized cost is, but when...
On-spot chains are, they're kind of held there and just drop down and they spin in under the tires. Kind of automatic chains.
Okay. So in this, nothing is final till we go back to Pierce and go over what they call the final drawings. And at that point, like where they will map out how the pump panel is going to look, the layout of switches and all that stuff. And we can change, we can delete or add anything without the cost of a change order up until that point. So we can go back there and say, okay, how much are those on-spot chains? And look at that and see if it's something worth considering.
For the minimal cost, it's just another, for the environment we live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for where that truck goes, I think you need them anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll be the first truck we've had with that on it. And how else do you try something and find out if it works?
Right.
In our application as well for future decisions.
Yeah.
And those numbers include the discount for making the decision before implementation.
Yeah. So what these prices? Again, this is full discount. So this is prepayment.
But with performance bond.
That's why I say we can't do without
Absolutely.
The performance
can't
bond.
Without it.
And so.
So I took that deduction out of there with these numbers.
And I'm trying to recall. You said it's about $30,000 difference, right? If we don't make the decision before if we don't prepay, it's about a $30,000 difference.
Yeah.
Correct.
A little bit more in the four wheel drive, but
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So just, I mean, thinking about this, if we were to spend those monies now and prepay. And it, say it takes a year for that truck to arrive, we aren't getting 5% on our money.
In other words, the interest earned would be less than the discount earned for prepaying.
That's right.
So it's another, I'm going to use the technical term, I believe I'm borrowing it from Pete, it's a no-brainer.
Right. That's a very technical term.
Yeah. Did I use it in the sentence right?
These on-spot chains are cool.
Almost all the school buses around here have them. Yeah.
They can be a pain though if you don't use them right. I mean, there are people that have messed
up. You don't want to drive 70 miles per hour.
Very cool red toggle switch that you have to flip up. Like, don't hit the nuclear.
Yeah.
Well, and once you're stuck, they aren't that great. They don't.
No, they're easy. Yeah, once you're stuck.
Plus, if we nail this before the end of the month, we beat the steel.
Right.
That was the hurry behind this. And we don't know how much those increases due to the steel and aluminum tariffs are going to be. Pierce just made a general announcement that any orders after May 1st would be subject to some kind of increases. That's why we went into...
All in ag industry, everybody's talking about
yeah.
it. So.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of it's already been answered.
Yeah.
My neighbor bought 2 semi-loads of rebar to be stacked up.
Oh yeah, he goes through it though.
Yeah, he got ahead of the game a little bit.
Anything else, Jason?
Other than any questions?
Can you see that?
Yes, please. I have it open to the price.
One of the other things that I'd asked you earlier about the prepayment, and you indicated that the build time would likely be quicker if we prepay. Did you find out anything more on that?
Nothing solid. It's okay. All about what's in the queue at the moment. So if yesterday this New York City put in an order for 50 engines, it's going to put us back. My theory is that this is a good time of year because most orders happen near the beginning of the fiscal year. And so I'm hoping that this is a good time. But every time I've asked them, they say, we don't know. It's too unpredictable.
When the phone rings, you answer.
Right. Yeah.
But roughly, we're looking at about a year.
Yes. I mean, they give themselves up to 13 months, but they say 10 to 13 months.
The other thing we can note as a board is that this is in the 2018 budget.
Correct.
So because last year we thought we might be ordering it sooner, we weren't sure. I mean, we knew it was on the list.
Right.
So budgetarily, we are fine doing
right.
this. Because it was right. in last year's budget, or the current year's budget, I should say.
Right. Any more questions for Jason?
One quick on the performance bond. What is the number on the performance bond?
Oh, it was $1,600 around there, but I'll get you an exact number.
Yeah. Is that close enough for it?
That's close enough. Okay.
$1,656 and $1,695.
And again, these numbers include the performance bond cost.
No.
They do not.
No. Okay. Yes, I added that in. I got rid of that as a deduction.
Right. Okay.
And you've got the engine now where that price is the engine you want, the truck you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to make any, you've done gone.
Oh, no, he's going to. It won't have a radio, and he'll get in trouble for that.
It does not have a radio.
He talked about the hot tub, but he didn't say the barn next to the hot tub. That's what he's going to throw that in later.
Oh, so you're getting into transparency like, well, I was going to let the hot tub thing go, too, till he brought it up. Any more questions? Public comment on the truck. Seeing none, can I have a motion?
Move to approve as presented by the chief.
Seconded.
Which option?
Four-wheeler drive. Okay. I believe that was implied in his no-brainer comment.
Right, okay, well, I just
try to keep up.
Okay, sorry.
You got the second, Mr. Chuck. All of the favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None?
Nice work, boys.
We didn't think we were going to get the price down. I was a little worried about that.
Really, really good.
Discussion on upcoming trustee terms ending and beginning.
Huh? I have no idea what that is.
Who asked for that?
It's just the end dates and beginning dates of the trustee terms. I gave that information.
Meaning this month is your last meeting and next month is the new.
Unless there's a special meeting. Basically, yeah. Our terms, you and I's terms, end on May 7th. I believe Nick's and Justin's begin on May 8th. So if we don't have any special meetings, this is our last meeting.
Yeah.
You're not going to get cake again. If we
I was a little surprised I'm getting cake tonight.
Any public comment? You get to talk a lot tonight, don't you, Jason?
I know. Oh, it's good, though.
Too.
It's good. Uh, hmm. Okay, so I guess I'm going to just go to interesting things. We will have three firefighters back into the Ray House probably within a month.
Cool. Where are we now? At zero?
Zero.
All those guys did move out.
Yep.
Okay.
So we're still full here, and we got Colin Prado, Eggers, and Matt Johnson are moving into there. So probably by the end of the...
Do we still have the volunteer firefighters living in the subdivision right there also?
Yeah.
Okay. So really, the Ray Station has got...
It's pretty
robust response.
I mean, much better than 3-4 years ago when we
said nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
No, it's good.
Good.
But that'll come and go. You know, I mean, it's...
Are you trying to say there's no guarantee?
Yes, what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's going well. We got six new folks in the Recruit Academy. They're doing great. And
that's kind of your...
That's our max number.
Number two, isn't it?
Yeah, that's our max number is six.
How many did you turn away from the recruit class that you would have taken if you hadn't picked the top six? How were we doing on recruiting as a whole?
You mean if we would have taken more than six?
Yeah, say our max was 10. Would you have filled it at 10, or would you have filled it at 7?
You know, just from the experience we have with the recruit classes and who actually completes it, I think the six we got would have been the six we took, and the other applicants, we just saw signs that they weren't going to make it.
So if we had capacity, we couldn't have done any better.
No, I probably
would have done.
Okay. That was my question. That was it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Let's skip down here. You know, we had a funny month last month. We had 4 cardiac arrests. Not on the department, but that we responded to. That would have been a terrible statistic. But yeah, we did a lot of cardiac, and 3 out of those 4 we actually resuscitated.
Why didn't you do the 4th?
Well, we didn't want to buck national standards too much.
Because he doesn't want a 100% record.
The bar is already so high at this point. I don't need it any higher.
How did you achieve that portfolio?
Yeah, national averages for cardiac arrest survival are typically pre-hospital about 15%. So we're doing well.
Would you attribute that to response time out of the department?
I think it's a combination of response time out of the department and the fact that we train a lot. We have really focused our medical training. We don't do a lot of, you know, some departments will spend a lot of time talking about, you know, liver disorders and other things that really just don't matter. So we really tried to focus our medical training on the critical functions of what we do, what really matters. The fact that a lot of our volunteers work at AMR and have more, you know, vocational experience in their occupations of doing that work, I think that helps a tremendous amount too. But there's no doubt that all the studies and statistics show that when someone goes into the cardiac arrest, the faster that CPR is started and the sooner that defibrillation is applied to the patient, the better the outcomes are. So having this station with the residents, having guys close to Ray makes a huge difference. And the only one that we did not resuscitate was a suicide. And nobody expects to resuscitate
right. A
suicide. It just doesn't work that way.
Sure, yeah.
So really, we're 3 for 3 for natural causes.
Oh, so you do want to set that bar high.
Yeah, it is that.
But also, and I think it bodes for future boards, is the expense of building a station with apartments or with rooms. And we didn't buy the Ray House with anticipation of having it be a residence. I mean, it's for future expansion whenever that may come, if or may. But that and sleepers of Cottonwood, I mean, that's a huge thing that I think that should be noted very strongly, that we have kind of a unique scenario as a volunteer fire department, mm-hmm. having sleepers and having dorms and all that, and it's working, and that's case in point right there.
Yeah, and Sourdough's history with the old station kind of proved that point. And, I mean, we thought we might have been jumping in kind of deep with what we did, but I mean, what's the lowest you've ever been? 6 here out of the 8?
Yeah.
So you've managed to keep it pretty full, which, I mean, at least my anticipation going into it, if we could hit 50%, you guys would all have private offices. And I mean, to our benefit, keeping them full is great.
Yeah. And it's same for fires, it's same for everything. Faster response times is just better outcomes.
Oh, you've had some great saves.
Yeah, it's just better outcomes.
Well, we're still beating AMR to the scenes, aren't we? With
yeah, unless it's on the north and, you know, sure. In holding areas.
Okay.
Yeah. Brian's been doing a great job. Really great job. He kind of changed up extrication training, trying to make it more efficient. Over the years, we try to do vehicle extrication training twice a year. We used to kind of take everybody down there and we do it on a Saturday and Sunday. Then we tried to split it, do half the group on Saturday, half the group on Sunday, and still people weren't getting enough hands-on time. So Brian came up with a great idea of splitting it over, how many, four or five?
Four
Sundays. We were smaller groups all day, one full day, and it's been great. Big thanks to Best Rate Towing. They've been getting us cars really consistently. They go out there and move them around for us and put them where we want them. And any opportunity you guys as board members get to thank Best Rate Towing for that, off the charts of how good they're being to us.
Well, you listen to what I'm saying, we can do a formal letter from the board of donations delivered to the kind of stuff.
You better wait to have a litter before you go ahead and start donating pups.
Yeah. And that's really the interesting stuff, so.
Cool. Oh, you don't want to talk about 911?
No.
Okay.
I really don't.
Where?
And the only thing I would ask is recognizing Dave's 27 years here as a board member. We had a little something for you, but it was something we had to order. And despite the fact that we ordered it a while ago, part of it is still not here.
Did you order approval for that?
No. And you like pets, don't you? Yeah, sure. So you're really going to like it. But it's coming from Singapore, and it's taken a while.
The agricultural inspection was tough.
It is brutal. Brutal. You wouldn't imagine the amount of oversight that comes into certain species coming into this country.
Import regulations.
And people think the Yeti doesn't exist.
Are you done yet?
I'm just saying. Okay. But so can you come to the next board meeting? Just.
That's awesome.
I'd love to present it to you.
Just remember, it's on tape, so the verbal commitment, that's a contract.
Your word is your bond.
Will we be back from the Bahamas by then?
Yeah.
Well, you're on the hook.
I can't send it to the Bahamas because that would be. I don't think it can live in that climate. I'm not sure.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
And here I thought he was going to work on trying to get that cost savings incorporated into merit pay, and he's just blown that all out of the water and destroyed it.
Was that in the budget? Anything else? Any public comment on the chief's report? Trustee activities. Did anybody do anything last month and week?
Well, I have.
Related to the fire department.
Yeah, I cleaned out some drawers. I was able to take some files that no longer needed to be available for me to file things into. That was it. And then I guess I'd like to, since this is my last meeting, I'd like to take a moment to thank the board members that I've served with, that I really appreciate everything you guys have contributed. I came on with the idea that I was going to be on for one term and one term only. But we've got a lot done, and I'm pretty proud of what we've gotten done. I think the constituents of the Highlight Fire District and prior, the ones of Sourdough, were benefited from the board working as hard as they have. I'm going to throw in one more pitch for please stay as educated as you can. As we know, you learn from other districts of what's going wrong, what's going right, and as I stated earlier, with the wages, things are really different out there. They're different in the valley alone, but you get out into the state and there's good ideas out there that we can get. And then I want to thank the staff. Lonnie, you haven't been here for a long time and I haven't worked with you real closely, but I will reiterate that I think we have the finest staff in Montana. I can't speak for other states, but it's been a real pleasure working with you guys. And I thank you for everything you guys do as far as employees, but over and above also. So I'm going to leave my final comments, I think, since I don't think I have anything under announcements, as a thank you to you guys for your work and for your work.
Right back at you, Chuck.
Well, I kind of got drugged into this kicking and screaming several years ago, but
that's how I came in. I saw no other way to get you in.
But I will say, I mean, there's been a lot that's been accomplished in the years that a few years that I've been around, and you guys did a lot before that, so yeah, I'm sure a lot of benefits to the community from everything that's occurred during both your tenure. So,
well, it's been a team effort. That no one person's done this here. So, I mean, we all pull hard in the same direction to where, you know, that's the only way we can accomplish what we've done, is just a group of people working together to serve our customers.
Well, and as the longest serving trustee, except for you, 27 years? How long have I been on this board? 20?
Jeez.
Well, I just want to thank you both for your service, Chuck. You were just a fantastic addition to this board, your financial acumen, and our residents. Honestly, well at night knowing that you've been looking the books, and the state you've left in for the next board is a really enviable position to be in. So I want to thank you for that. Okay. And Dave, it has just been a real personal pleasure to serve with you. Can't tell you how much I've learned from you over the years. I feel like we complement one another in very, very different ways, and it just has been a real pleasure. And the community has benefited, and you remember all the nights we sat over there in that little room, those folding tables behind the trucks, freezing our asses off, and where we got things today. You ought to be damn proud of what you've done.
Oops.
Because we couldn't have done it without you, and we got something for you. It's not a dog, it's not a donation, but it is just a little token recognition, and it's very well deserved. Put that in a nice place.
Well, thank you guys. It isn't why, but thanks anyway. You know, it's just been, actually, I've learned a lot doing this from whatever, and to work with over the years, a team, you know, and whatnot that we've had, you know, in this district is unbelievable what we could get accomplished and what we did get accomplished. A lot still to accomplish, but with the team that's in place, the staff, and the people that are here that just flat care about our customers, you know, makes it a pretty easy job. And
except it's not.
I mean, there's been trials and tribulations, but I mean, to do what we did, you know, a few sleepless nights, but nothing compared to the results that we come out with. So, you know, our customers are the ones that benefit from it, and that's where my pride goes, is, you know, hearing the response times and, you know, the things, you know, that we can circumvent because we were a good team pulling together and getting the right people in place and the right equipment in place and the facilities to perform that, just to provide a much needed service to our neighbors. So I've enjoyed it immensely, and you know, wish the department the best of luck going forward. Good job, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
And
Chuck. Okay, no worries.
And I'll just add from a fire chief's perspective.
And I do still have your cell
phone. Over the years, I've worked with a lot of trustees when I was in Big Sky and here. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, Chuck Wyman, Dave Kraft, I've never worked with trustees who put as much time and effort into the job. And it is a job as they have. So thank you guys for doing that. I mean, and I don't, that's, you know, I'm not one to blow wind up your skirts, but that is the truth. You guys,
you guys
have put in an enormous amount of time and effort into the district, and I think it's incredible. So thank you guys. Thanks for being great trustees.
I would just second that and say thank you guys for the support. I mean, since I got moved up from being a volunteer to a paid position, and kind of fallen right into some difficult times and the struggles we had to go through, but both of you were excellent to call and get support from and keep things moving and making sure our customers were still being served. So thank you for that, and thank you for really where you brought us. I mean, I was definitely one who was around when this building certainly was not here, and trying to keep trucks from freezing in the old buildings and such. And what we have now is certainly amazing. And I think that's just a credit to your guys' work. So thank you.
And here's a credit to your work. I just got a text from former firefighter Larkin Scott, who's in nursing school and doing her rounds at the hospital. She said, "Hey, just a heads up. A lady I just took care of in the hospital was picked up by Highlight and could not stop saying such great things about everyone who responded. Good work, team."
Nice.
Cool. There's your customer service piece. Yeah.
That's why we do it. So, well, announcements. I guess you want to set up the next meeting?
Yeah, if you can indulge me, I got 2 weeks of vacation coming up in May.
I guess I still have to approve your time slot.
Because I'll notice my phone is not being touched.
Memorial Day is the 28th, so we don't have to do that. I could be available the 29th.
Or
the 30th or the 31st.
Do we want to go that far?
Yeah, I'm out of the country the week of the 14th and the 21st.
I'm fine with the 29th.
Yeah, that actually may work better for me, too.
The 29th?
Yeah, because be gone.
I'm going to leave it up to you three because I don't think it really matters to me. So.
May 29th it is?
29th, good.
That works, yep.
Thanks
to Dave and Chuck's support staff for the cakes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know what we're going to do next meeting? We're putting you two on the Emeritus Fire Advisory.
Well, you didn't ask people, John. No.
Yeah, no, we're just going to point
them. No.
So what do you think? You're going to have them at home now all the time?
I know. No, how are I in the house? We're all together. Chuck.
What, she thought that was fire?
That was only about 5 minutes of fire.
Well, yeah. And now it's going to be seen with more than two of you because it won't be a quorum anymore.
Are you going on a little break? You aren't going. This is why we like doing meetings with him, because we can get that to happen.
You guys probably aren't going anywhere for a while in that realm, right?
Right.
Right.
Oh.
Well, thank you.
But I do have $2 graduating from high school next month.
No.
So we'll let you go.
Close by or?
Where?
Colorado.
Yeah, for Dart.
Right.
Dart. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Well, they would graduate on the same day. So my business graduate.
You should get a
quarter. Well, my granddaughter, she's already accepted to CU Boulder. Over a 4.0 GPA. She has scholarships. And the other one's just normal, like